I want to make three observations about Sukkot this morning. And in some ways, the third one is the first one. And then, in a short while, we will actually be able to go into the Sukkah, which for some of you will be for the first time, and to have the mitzvah leshev basukkah, of sitting in the Sukkah. The first observation I want to make is that the kosher sukkah, a sukkah that is actually legitimate, the minimum requirement is two walls and one tefach. A tefach means a hand's breadth. So it has to have two walls and a little bit. And the most beautiful explanation I ever saw of why that is, what the sukkah must have, is that the two walls represent two arms, and the hand's breadth is a hand, and when you sit in the sukkah, you're sitting in God's embrace. And I always thought when I walk into a sukkah that that's a beautiful image to keep in mind. The more walls you have, of course, the more complete is the embrace, but at the very least, you have to have enough to represent God's embrace. The second thing that I wanted to say about the sukkah was that the sukkah in Jewish tradition has three different explanations, all of them complementary. One doesn't eliminate the other, but all of them are the origin of the sukkah. The most common one is that these are the temporary huts that the Israelites lived in when they went through the desert, because they had to build some sort of structure, and it's a sukkah is an arai, a temporary structure, and of course, if you're moving through the desert, then like a tent, a sukkah is only for the night. The second is that it represents the booths that people would live in during the time of the harvest, because they would go out and spend several days in the field, which was sometimes far from their home. And so instead of traveling back home every night, they would live in these temporary huts while they gathered the harvest. And the sukkah represents the harvest like it represents the historical part of the holiday. And lastly, the sukkah represents the sukkah, the covering of clouds that God put over the Israelites as they traveled through the desert, so that it wouldn't be too hot to walk through the desert as they traveled from Egypt to Eretz Israel, to the land of Israel. And all three are what we talk about when we talk about a sukkah, because a sukkah means a covering. In the Hashkivenu prayer in the evening, remember we say, Pares Sukkot Shalom Aleinu. Cover us with your sukkah of peace. Any kind of covering can be called a sukkah. And then the last observation is why Sukkot is called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. And I will give you three explanations, the third leading back to the very beginning. The first is that sukkah is the time of our joy, and this many rabbis have given sermons about, and it ties to Kohelet, because Sukkot reminds us that life is temporary and therefore we don't have forever, and we have to grab the joy and the sweetness of life while we're fortunate enough to have it. That's the temporary explanation of Zman Simchatenu. The second, which I don't think I've ever actually seen in a rabbinic source, but I thought of a couple of years ago when I helped a friend build a sukkah, is that Jews don't do very much physical stuff. You know, we talk, we study, we sit, and then for the first time you actually get to hold a hammer and hammer in a nail, and it's kind of good and healthy and joy-making. The truth is that it can be great joy to actually see yourself build something, and maybe Zman Simchatenu is because we actually get to do something other than just use words. We get to build a structure. But the third, and I think maybe the original meaning and the true meaning, I don't want to eliminate the others, but the original meaning is that Sukkot is Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy, because it's after Yom Kippur. And we know that we're forgiven. And once you know that you're forgiven and you have a chance to begin again, the reaction to that is joy. So Sukkot comes right after we've repented. And what do you feel after you've been forgiven and repented? You feel great joy. And you may know that the first thing you're supposed to do when Sukkot is over is drive in the first nail of the Sukkah. I mean, when Yom Kippur is over, is drive in the first nail of the Sukkah. So you go right from being forgiven to building the Sukkah. And I think when the rabbis talked about Zman Simchatenu, what they felt more than anything else is, this is the time we're forgiven, so the time that we are joyous. And that's why I said the last explanation ties back to the first. Because if you feel that you're forgiven, and you feel that you have a fresh start, then you feel more keenly when you go into the Sukkah that you're walking into God's embrace. And I think that's the circle of Sukkot that makes it truly, as I hope it will be for all of us, Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. Chag Sameach.